Fed Talks is a weekly podcast featuring federal program staff from the Georgia Department of Education and Georgia's public schools. For many individuals, the purpose of federally funded programs is unknown. Through its Fed Talk series, the Georgia Department of Education is sharing more information on the ways Georgians are leveraging federal funds to serve Georgia students and Georgia schools. Welcome to Fed Talks.
Okay, well, good morning, everybody. This is Craig Gears returning for the new 1920 school year with our Fed Talks podcast series, and I am joined once again by my colleague, John White.
Hey, everybody. John White with Federal Programs.
And we'll go around the table here and have our guests introduce themselves.
Jessica Booth, Fine Arts Program Manager.
Hi, I'm Paul McLean. I'm Fine Arts Specialist.
And I'm Donna Hatcher, Program Manager for Title IV-A.
All right, and what we'd like to do for this podcast is sort of do a revisit of the Title IV Part A program, hence Donna's presence as the program manager, but focus more importantly on how fine arts are an integral part of the Title IV-A grant as one of the primary reasons that legislation was put together and 4A was included. Is it's all about ensuring that kids who normally don't have access to whole child initiatives, in other words, exposure to fine arts, as well as other areas, have that opportunity. So today we wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about an initiative that we began implementing this past year called START Grant. And we'll get into the details of what that is, but you know, let everybody know that we're also going to continue that initiative into the new school year because we found that it was really quite successful. So with that, I guess we'll just start.
Yeah, Donna, maybe you can just share a little bit about, just to bring everybody up to speed on 4A, Title IV-A, real quick in the connection to this grant.
Okay, great. Thank you. As everyone knows, once we, the state of Georgia gets their funds, we receive our allocation from US Ed, the bulk of that goes down to the LEAs, and that's what everybody is spending their 4A money on, doing the initiative, supporting the initiatives in the LEA. But there is a portion of funds that are left at the state level where we focus those funds for the superintendent's initiatives. And one of the very important initiative is to assist our rural districts in increasing their funding, what we can do for them for technical assistance and then activities like the START Grant and other grants to help them have kind of give them a leg up on the things that they want to do that maybe their traditional funding isn't enough money for.
Excellent. Great overview. Yeah. Didn't we hear from Nate Schultz in one of our first podcasts about Title IV?
Yeah, early on, I think Nate gave a great overview. It was about a year ago about what the Title IV Part A grant is all about. So you're welcome to go back and find that. But as I said, let's get focused right on the START Grant. So Jessica or Paul, you want to talk to a little bit about what is it? What's the START Grant?
Well, the START Grant really is kind of pushing the superintendent's initiative that every student gets access to arts education K-12. And we realized that rural districts didn't have quite as many opportunities and they didn't have as many community connections in the arts to even fill gaps. So these grants are targeted to school systems that are considered rural by the federal definition. And they're $10,000 one-time grants, even though a district can apply and get them more than 1 year. And it's really used to start new art programs or arts programs, which is how we ended up with START title. Also to boost up existing programs because we found that they really lacked resources and support to provide staff development to teachers in the arts because subject-specific staff development is required under ESSA, and that wasn't the case under our former federal programs. And we also just saw in general that there was a great need for targeted funding to get programs going. We saw school districts that hired teachers with the funds. We saw school districts that were able to provide programs during the school day that they wouldn't have been able to do any other way.
So obviously $10,000 isn't going to be enough to hire a full-time teacher.
Right.
So when you talk about hiring a teacher, talk to us a little bit about what that would have entailed.
A lot of times the local school system, the local education agency is adding the $10,000 to existing funds. Or maybe the school board is providing part of the funding for a full-time position. Sometimes it's that they're doing a part-time position. So we have some rural districts where the school systems are so tiny that a part-time position actually sees all of the students in the school during the week. We've been really fortunate in that school districts saw the benefit in this, and there was a great need, and a lot of school districts applied last year, and we saw some really great things around the state.
And it was being K-12, right?
It was K-12. And it was really all over the map. We saw theater programs, music programs, and visual art programs. We didn't have any dance, did we?
No, not this time, but I'm pretty sure we're going to have some dance apply in the next year. The benefit of having even those part-time teachers come in is so great and so palpable that people have been putting up money to try to extend that program. I mean, that really is it, just allow teachers and districts to actually have the opportunity to try it. I will tell you, it's beyond just the equipment. I mean, we've seen them purchase full keyboard sets for classrooms, digital drum sets, even classroom sets of bucket drums to have the students get involved, full guitars, visual arts supplies, slab rollers. But the thing that's been most amazing is going in and looking at what they're doing with the schools. And time again, the teachers and the principals will pull us aside and say, see that kid over there? Cannot get them to focus, cannot get them to do anything in these other classes. But this has absolutely revolutionized the way that that student interacts in the class and has changed the way they interact with the rest of the their regular curriculum classes. And I think that really speaks to the purpose of whole child education, because it's making those connections that are necessary so the kid feels invested and actually wants to be participating in what's going on.
So one of our target audiences with our podcast is really, while we appreciate the fact that our school districts listen, hopefully, we also wanted to make sure that parents and community organizations also got a better understanding of federal programs. So have you seen any instances, or is it possible for community organizations, arts entities within these local communities to partner with the districts? I guess, first of all, did you see any of that, and is that possible?
Yeah, I did. I saw some, there were some teachers who had gotten involved in some arts programs that were just for the community, and they saw the opportunity with what was going on in the classroom with the START grants, and they actually were able to sort of close the gap and let those two organizations work together. So between what already existed in the community and the START grant, they're now able to have programs that work in the school system during the day with the resources of that community organization as well.
So you mentioned eligibility is rural districts, and just for our audience so everybody knows, we're tying that to the Title V-B program, which designates rural districts for additional federal funding. So moving into this school year, there will be 110.
Mm-hmm.
And of course you can find that information on our website. But the grants were available again for those districts, and the funds are awarded to the school district, but if a community organization engaged in arts education wants to partner with a district, they ought to approach their district and ask about it. We don't want people to think that community organizations are excluded from being a part of this. That's
Craig, private schools also were invited to be a part of this. Were there any private schools that coordinated with this grant?
There's some charter schools that were awarded the grant this time around. I don't know that we had any private schools this last round.
But it's helpful to know that when we're reaching out to communities, that the school districts also reach out to private schools. So everybody out there listening, this is also available to private schools.
It is, and it would have to be private schools within the geographic boundary of the particular district. And they would just need to, the districts will be reaching out because that's their obligation. But the private schools are more than welcome to reach out to the districts because they are eligible, as long as they're a nonprofit.
And I would say, too, the other thing that is important to remember is that every school in the district can apply. So some districts really got a great deal out of this, whereas others were trying it for the first time and they just did one school, one project. But if you have six schools and you write six amazing grant requests, then you can really do quite something.
And they could be initiatives at a school level, or were there any that did district-wide?
Yes, there were. And those that really focused on how they could get that resource, whatever it was, but it was the professional development for teachers was a huge one. Mm-hmm. Getting teacher training, getting teachers to join the professional organizations that are relevant to their subject area. Right. That's the biggest way that districts help the whole area.
Go ahead, Donna.
I think another significant part about that is I've already had a lot of LEAs that are asking me about that. And what they're trying to do is they're looking at their formula funds that they've already received and looking for ways. We've talked with a few LEAs of, if I get the START grant, then I can blend this with something else that I've already got going on that I'm funding with my regular formula grant. So that whole district concept is there, but to have, if they apply for a school, then they can drive those funds with their district initiative, but move those funds down to a specific school.
So we've done a good job of sharing about the grant, and you guys shared some examples that you've seen before. As we get towards the end of this podcast session, can you give us some more examples to kind of help the people who are listening get some ideas of how they could possibly benefit or use this if they were to go for this grant?
Well, I think a lot of the START grant, what we saw is the purpose of START grant is for it to happen during the school day. So it would be a graded course with, you know, state approved course number. So when we had community entities come in, they were working within that constraint as well. But looking through that lens, we saw a lot of school districts that did not have arts and music at all at the elementary level use these funds to buy equipment and then had teachers teach those classes with the equipment. We also saw a high school that purchased an entire drum line because the high school not only didn't have visual arts, theater, or dance, it didn't even have high school band. Mm-hmm. So the drum line was gonna be the beginning of their high school starting to have a band that could work with football games and work with, you know, basketball later in the year. It's kind of been a point of pride for everyone that we've gone and visited.
No, they really have been quite pleased with the effects of the START grant. I mean, if you can imagine what it's like to see a classroom full of elementary students who've never had music, and then suddenly it's a weekly part of their schedule, they were overwhelmed. So I would say that purchasing equipment is a great way to make sure that the START grant is sustainable and you can continue the program. That's been one of the most successful. Mm-hmm. And then that teacher development, making sure that the teachers have the resources they need, because, I mean, you know, teach a man to fish.
And that is a difference on this year's application, is that we're requiring that they have some teacher staff development built into right. their request and their application, because we think that's really important to make sure that the teachers are getting nurtured and fed, because I know we had several situations where teachers came up and said that in our own trainings from Godot that this was the first time they'd ever had training in their subject area.
Which I think is a great segue into another point we'd like to bring up. Donna mentioned the fact that we do retain a small bit of the funding here for statewide initiatives. And so we're obviously committed to supporting the arts through the START grants, but we also are providing some funding for positions in fine arts. So talk to us a little bit, if you would, about what resources are available from the Godot to support the arts.
Yeah, honestly, the state's ESSA plan in Title IVA has really enabled everything that we had worked on strategically in the arts to be able to be realized. It really has been a gift. So out of the small amount that the state keeps, we've been able to hire Paul's position. He has a theater and film background. We're working on trying to expand our staff even more so that we cover all five arts areas. And in those funds, we've been able to hire excellent teachers in dance, theater and film, visual arts, media arts, and music to create instructional resources that include everything a teacher would need if you were a brand new teacher to teach the course. So example, curriculum maps, unit plans, lesson plans, little videos that even show you how to set up your art classroom mm-hmm. for painting with 700 kids if it's your first time. Those instructional resources live on for years and years, and that is the thing that we're hearing in the field teachers really, really love. We've also been able to use some of the funding to create Georgia Learns classes. So those will be free training classes. One is kind of art for non-art teachers, and then there's another that's kind of music for non-music teachers, because we have many K-5 teachers who teach art and music to their own students right. during the day. We also have a dramatic writing one class that Paul worked on to to help teachers who want to offer at the high school level the Dramatic Writing 1 class, which is the first fine arts class in the state that counts as both a core class, it counts as a fourth ELA, and it counts towards the fine arts pathway because it's a theater class. And then on top of that, we've been able to expand our Georgia Virtual School options so that even though that high school we pointed out that had the drum line and now has band, it still doesn't have visual arts. But the students could complete a visual arts pathway and even get the fine arts diploma seal by having 4 years of arts by taking classes on Georgia Virtual School, which are free during the school day as long as it's not offered at that homeschool.
Great. Well, John, it's been very informative.
Yes,
obviously, our commitment to the arts is going to continue, and we are glad that 4A was put into the law and that this can be a focus for us here in the state. So I want to thank you guys for sharing a little bit about the grant and what we're doing for kids in Georgia as far as the arts.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.